Welcome to the Gym Shorts podcast series. I'm your host, Kathy Smith.
Hello, welcome to Gym Shorts podcast series, where today we'll focus on alternative education options. Our first guest is Chloe Sasagawa, who has homeschooled her daughter. Welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited to hear what you have to say today. I can't wait. So let's just
get started. Share.
Okay, so Chloe, or parent-led home-based education is not a new practice and has been around forever. And in fact, research shows that the homeschool population is growing. In 2019, there were 3 to 4% of school-age children or 2.5 million homeschool students in the U.S. educated at home. And that number seems to have risen significantly. I know that basically you were doing more preschool homeschooling, but Chloe, what is your family's reason to activate her learning at that age at home?
Mm-hmm, yep. So in order to really fully answer that question, I feel that first and foremost, I have to really pay tribute to my ancestors. Okay. I come from a long line of women who stayed home with their children and who really valued that as a career choice. Mm-hmm. And so I really have them to thank for instilling in me the value of my role in the home. Mm-hmm. So when I did become a mother, I really felt this value being passed down to me, almost like an heirloom, almost like a baby blanket that your family's had forever, or like a china set. I really felt that like my grandma and my mom had this thing and they were like, now it's your turn. And when I really fully absorbed kind of the gravity of that, that's when I could really value myself as my child's first, best, and most important educator.
Yeah.
And when I felt the gravity of that, that's when I realized I needed to educate myself on how I could best fulfill that role for my child. And for me at the time, that was through homeschooling.
Wow. So inspiring and such a great thing that you're doing. And I love that you are taking your heritage and moving it to that next generation.
Yeah, I'm really thankful.
How do you go about homeschooling, Chloe? How did you prepare for that?
Yeah, this is a great question. So I think there's this buzzword with homeschooling of like, what method are you going to choose? Mm-hmm. There are all sorts of methods. Right, there's Montessori,
yeah.
There's Waldorf, Reggio Emilia, classical education, Charlotte Mason is a big one. Mm-hmm. And so it can be overwhelming when you're presented with all these choices.
Yeah.
But I think because I had that value of myself as my child's best and most important educator, mm-hmm. I understood that the best method was really my intuition as her parent.
Yeah.
And that was the filter through which all the other methods had to run.
Yeah.
And so I really just researched and researched and researched. And I voraciously consumed just books on each method. Mm-hmm. And they're like heady books. It's really philosophical. Charlotte Mason is incredibly philosophical, as is Montessori. And when you go to the source, their actual words, it's very much heady philosophical. And that was great to get a foundation and understanding, but I also needed the practical side, right?
Yeah.
I needed to see it in practice. And that I used more modern books, but I also used a lot of social media, and just seeing how moms in the trenches are implementing, moms and dads are implementing these heady ideas in real life. So I absorbed all of that. And once I was done, I felt that there was this like feast before me, right? Like a buffet. And then using my intuition and my understanding of my child and who she is as a person, I made her a meal. So I picked from the feast, picked from various methods, and made a plate of food for her, you know?
Very sweet. It's like a smorgasbord, Swedish, right?
Yeah, it is. It is exactly.
My next question, Chloe. In child growth and development, a big part of early learning and something ongoing is the child's social, emotional, and psychological development. As we know for your traditional schools, the natural setting for peer interaction is all the opportunities that you get. 25 kids in a room together, and you're going to the playground, and you're, having a snack, and you're taking naps and what have you. What is something that you do or you have done with Sylvie to support her social and emotional development before she went to her regular school time?
I think this is a great question, and it's the most common concern when it comes to homeschooling. In my experience, when she was very young, I really focused on creating this super strong home base, this strong bond, attachment, dependency with me and my family, so that when she was ready to become a more social creature, because she had that home base that was so constant, she flourished independently. And I actually wrote down this quote.
That's great.
It's from this great book called Simplicity Parenting: The Extraordinary Power of Less to Raise Calmer, Happier, and More Secure Kids by Kim
Ooh.
John Payne. It was a great read. I think all parents, new parents, should read it. But this quote really applied to what I kind of wanted to say, which is the quote: if we are there for our children and with our children consistently, they will internalize our support and independence will blossom. He goes on to say the child breathes in the environment and then breathes itself out into the world.
Wow, that's just beautiful.
Yeah, and I really felt that that's what I did in keeping her home. In my situation, if I would have pushed socialization any earlier than I did, it really would have backfired. My daughter is just by nature very reserved. And when she was small, she was pretty much like selectively mute. My daughter spoke at a very early age. She spoke at around like 9 months old and never stopped around the people she was comfortable with. But around people she wasn't comfortable with, she really wouldn't speak. Like someone would ask her something and she would not answer. And I really didn't push it.
Such a good
And I
move.
didn't worry about it. And I just knew in my gut, I used my intuition, and I knew that her confidence, her independence, her desire to socialize, and her longing to connect would come. And it did. It came on its own. I rode the wave and it came. Now, when I think of what ended up happening, which is we did, I had plans to homeschool her through elementary school at least.
Okay.
That's not what ended up happening. And when I think of the why behind that, I think it was this social emotional piece.
Okay.
I myself am like a bit of a lone wolf. I am not, I find it hard to actively like seek out community. I really
Sometimes
love solitude. I love
yeah.
solitude. And as she got older, I saw that that was going to be hard. And that in homeschool, a big part of getting that well-rounded social emotional peace is finding your community and thriving in your community and being very socially active. And so when I realized that kind of, I don't know, like flaw in myself or, you know, like
Your
part of
choice.
my personality,
Yeah,
I
it's
realized that it wasn't gonna work for me, or it was gonna be very draining for me if I did pursue it. And I felt that traditional school kind of filled that gap with its built-in community.
Yeah.
And that was what led our decision ultimately.
To move to school.
Yep.
I love that you are so forward thinking every step of the way for your daughter. I think to be able to have that awareness piece and that intuition that you're relying on is a great strength. I like that you are able to see how you work in groups and what fills your bucket, and if that is or not a similar opportunity for your daughter and giving her that as well. So very good. You're a good mom.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. I try. We all try.
It's a hard thing to be a
It's a
mom.
hard job. Yes. Also too, I think that part of Sylvie's personality was what drove my desire to do a kind of like school, do school at home before school.
Yeah.
I really wanted her to go into kindergarten, knowing how to read, knowing how to do rudimentary math, not because it's a race, which, you know, I hate. It's everybody will get there in their own journey. But for Sylvie, I knew that the social emotional piece of school and also like being apart from me was going to be hard. And so when she was quite young, I thought to myself, well, if she can have academic skills kind of in the bag, she can focus on
The other top side.
the other hard piece of kindergarten, which is I'm learning how to be around 20 other kids.
Yeah.
And just to not have to also like learn how to read at the
Yeah.
same time as being so like internally a bit activated,
Yeah.
was what I like kind of the gift I wanted to give her in a sense.
That's so kind. You're giving her the foundation so that she can focus in kindergarten on social skills and learn.
Yeah.
It's hard for singles to understand how do you work in a group? How
It is.
do you share sometimes, or how do you not always take the lead? Because I think as only children, they're natural born leaders. They have to be. And for them, well, how does that work when there's other ones around me too? So
Yep,
yeah.
exactly.
What has been the best part of homeschooling from your perspective? What is your favorite part about it?
I think it's really just been the connection I feel with my daughter. Just that early childhood is just such precious years. And I feel really lucky and happy that not only did I have quality time With my daughter, I really had quantity time. I was a nanny before having Sylvie, a nanny for twins. And the dad would always say, with like tears in his eyes, "The days are long, but the years are short." And I can't say it now without getting emotional, but it's so true because when I look back on, my decision to be home and keep her home, the days, some days were so long. But now here she is and she's eight and it went in a flash. And so I'm just glad that as the flash passed, I grasped it.
As that is truly a foundation that you have built with her, that gives her so much confidence and self-esteem and self-awareness that's just phenomenal.
Very blessed and thankful.
If you had to do it all over again, Chloe, would you still choose the same option you did? And if so, why?
Yes, I would. 100%. I think that her successes and her wins really speak for themselves, and I'm really not talking about only academic wins or successes. It's really, she's just like a happy, well-regulated, intelligent, kind, like really tender hearted kid. And just, I feel really proud of her. And I also feel really proud of myself and the people who guided her and who really shaped her to be this incredible, incredible human.
Person, yeah.
And now that she's eight and going to school, it's like I held her and now it's like this.
Yeah, you're
And
letting her.
I get to see how the world is now experiencing the work I put in,
Yeah.
honestly.
So, Chloe, I have a question for you in regards to helping with early reading skills and literacy for littles.
I really believe that building an environment that builds literacy is something that starts in infancy. I really think that it starts with how much we talk to our baby.
Yes, very much so.
It's huge for their vocabulary. And then if they have the vocabulary, it's huge for reading later on. And it is a snowball, right?
Yeah.
Really early, just saturating the environment with books. Books everywhere. Books on
Yeah.
shelves, books on the floor,
Yes,
books, books,
exactly.
books, so that when they're crawling around, there are toys,
Yeah.
but there are also books everywhere. So they're going
Yeah.
to encounter a book and be curious about it. I really, you go to thrift stores, go to the library, which is great. You can check out 50 at a time, which I've done. Like daycares that are closing will just be giving away their books. Facebook Marketplace, library book sales, you can fill a bag for a dollar.
Yeah.
If you can just do that and build this home library where books are everywhere within reach,
Yeah.
that's huge.
Yeah. I love it.
And I think also too, I think this was in the book Reading Magic by Mem Fox, maybe, which is another great book. And that was, she said, have your children see you reading. And like reading silently your book that your grown-up book that you're reading. And that really builds this idea of literacy as something like mom and dad still hold sacred and
Yeah.
still love to engage in.
Yeah.
And I think kids are the world's biggest emulators, right? So if
Yeah.
mom and dad are doing it and it's like a cool thing mom and dad do and like a thing mom and dad invest their time in,
Yeah.
that they absorb that. It's less about creating like early readers.
Yeah.
And it's more about creating lifelong readers.
There you go.
So it's not like this, I didn't do all this to like race, 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 and
Sure.
my
Yeah.
kid reads at three. And,
Yeah.
you know, it's no, I want my child to be 30 years old
Yeah.
and still reaching for books.
Yeah.
Because books are the world
Magic.
open. They're
Yeah.
magic. They're magic. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask you one of my favorite questions that we always ask. Last, Chloe, we love to start and end our segments by asking this question. What was your favorite children's book and why?
Okay, I love this question. I'm so excited. Okay, so my favorite is a book that's part of a series called The Lonely Doll Series.
Okay.
By Dear Wright. And I actually have it here because
it. Oh yeah, let's
makes a
see
bit more sense to see it visually.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was this woman in the 60s who took black and white photographs of a doll and a bear in New York City and made up stories about them. So
Oh
if
my
you can see,
goodness.
it's just iconic.
Yeah, I love it.
And it's basically Edith and Little Bear and then Mr. Bear, who's kind of their caretaker.
Okay.
And he decides that New York is too dirty and polluted for these youngins to live in. So then they take it upon themselves to attempt to make New York a cleaner place.
Oh.
And they write letters. They learn how to recycle. They pick up trash. They even report on like this smokestack that is like emitting fumes. And then they actually, one of my favorite pages is they go and they protest at City Hall. And it's just like the best ode to New York City and like the grit of New York City back then. But then also like an ode to like a child's desire and power to change the world for the better.
Oh, wow.
So it's like twofold. Like it's like cool as all get out, and then also has this like really empowering message for kids that's like snuck in there.
Oh, that's so cool. Again, Chloe, thank you so much for sharing your experiences of helping your daughter become a kid at school and the things you did when she was little. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a fabulous day, Chloe.